Nathan. The prophet Amos preached against the terrible corruption of Jeroboam. The prophet Daniel spoke for God during the reign of two kings, Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, during the Babylonian captivity. Jesus, Savior of the world, was born during the days of Caesar Augustus. He preached in the time of Herod the Great, and then he suffered and died under Pontius Pilate. Paul, the greatest apostle, did his preaching during the days of Felix, Festus, and King Agrippa. So during the reign of King Hezekiah of Judah, there always stood a prophet, Isaiah. Isaiah was the prophet or preacher of God. A prophet has three distinct and different forms of sight. He has sight, he has insight, and he has foresight. With his sight, he looks on things. With his insight, he looks into things. With his foresight, he looks beyond things. The groceryman on the corner, the butcher in the block, the clothes maker or tailor are so blessed, sewing class and ladies, the laundryman and the shoemaker, the fruit dealer on the sidewalk, the fisherman on the beach, the druggist and the doctor, the garbage man and the street sweeper, tongue twister, hallelujah. All of these people, all of these professions, your profession, whatever you do, is needed. It's needed. It's needed. We need it in our society to make ends meet and make things move forward. All of these services are valued, but the preacher, the man of God, our pastor, is the most essential and most valuable of them all. The man who feeds the body is not as important as the man who will stand up in front of you with the word of God and try to reach your soul from going to hell. There is a hell and there is a heaven, and you've got to know where you're at and where you're going today. Hear me this morning. What's in your house? The man who feeds the soul is more important than the man who feeds the body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No wonder the Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall he preach except he be sent? Have you ever thought what this world would be like without our pastor? It's bad that I don't preach 2 weeks in a row, because this is what happens to me. I just get so passionate about God, what's happening around us. I don't even want to begin to think what it would be like without a pastor in my life, without someone to be accountable to, someone to help guide. Without a preacher named Noah, there would have been none to build an ark for the salvation of the human race. Without a preacher, there would have been no one to go to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and persuade Lot to get out of town and not to look back. Without a preacher named Abraham, oh yeah, they're all in there, there would have been no man called the friend of God, the father of the faithful. Without a preacher named Moses, there would have been no commission from a burning bush to lead the church from a midnight Passover to an early morning crossover. Without a preacher, there would have been no bread from heaven, no quails in the desert, no water from a rock, no honey from the rock, no cloud by day, no fire by night. Without a preacher named Elijah, there would have been none to announce the 42 months of drought to King Ahab, to win the evening sacrifice on Mount Carmel, to ride chariots of fire into glory. Without a preacher named Elisha, there would have been no receiver of the mantle, no healing for Naaman, no saving of the widow and her two sons by the filling of the bottles with oil, no raising of the dead child of the Shunammite woman. Without a preacher, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? The Bible said, man looks on the outward appearance, but God's looking at your heart. What's in your heart? What's in your house this morning? Isaiah telling King Hezekiah, hear me, King, there's not really anything wrong with what you showed them. King, it's okay that you showed them all of your treasure and all the fine things that you've been blessed with. It was okay for them to see your armory, King. But King, the problem comes, and the problem is in what they did not see. What they did not see. What they were not shown. What do you mean, preacher? Hezekiah, you failed to show them something that they should have seen. Everything he showed them, you see, was temporary. Everything he showed them was temporal. He showed them nothing bearing the stamp of eternity. He showed them nothing, not a single thing that represented the goodness of the eternal God. There was no testimony time. There was no brief worship. He showed them no altar, no prayer room, no scroll. He didn't even introduce them to the prophet Isaiah. Those men went all the way back home to Babylon with the conviction and impression that Hezekiah's house was no different than any other king's house that they had ransacked and raided and pillaged and taken everything from. There's no difference from him, him, and him. We can take this man out. And they did. And they did. They did. After all God had done for the king, you think that when he got to his bedroom, he'd open the door and said, "Hey guys, that was my deathbed. You see that wall over there? That's the wall I turned to and prayed, and God gave me 15 more years. You see that sundial over there? Oh yeah, that's where it went backwards 10 degrees. Oh, my God is so good and powerful." No, he didn't do any of that. He didn't do any of that. What have they seen in your house? What have they seen in your house? I just need a few more minutes. What have they seen in your house, sir, ma'am? Families are the bedrock of our society and culture. Destroy the family, and our nation will crumble. There are powerful forces intent on redefining the structure of our families. Did you know that more than 3 in 10 children grow up in a dysfunctional, broken home or family? And out of those 3 in 10 children, every 3 in 10 child that grows up in that broken home, out of those, just those, okay, 70% will end up in juvenile. 57% of all prison inmates come from that home. 71% of teen pregnancies comes from that home. 90% of homeless juveniles and runaways. 71% of high school dropouts. 75% of all drug users come from a broken, dysfunctional home. 85% of behavioral disorders. I don't share these statistics this morning to be a downer or to discourage parents who have done their best to raise their families. But what the undeniable facts are, that children are better off in a home with a marriage of a man and a woman or a single mom or dad that pray and have God at the center of their lives. There is an epidemic of failure in our families that stems from the ongoing cultural, legal, and legislative attacks on our family structure. That's what we face today. 65 to 70% of the children that we have upstairs come from dysfunctional, hurting homes. They know what meth labs look like. They know what it looks like to see a parent shoot up in their arm or smoke pot or to have a different person in their house every night in their bed. They know what that is. What have they seen in your house? What have they seen in your house? The home is the basic unit of any civilization. I'm coming to a close. If the home is undermined and topples and collapses, civilization itself is at danger of destruction. Before the church, hear me this morning, before the state, before anything like that, God ordained the home. God ordained the home. Hear me, hear me, hear me. The home must not be neglected. The home must not be overlooked. The home must not be ignored today. For the first institution in the world was the home. A church within a church, a republic within a republic, a world within a world, a kingdom within a kingdom are all spelled in four letters, H-O-M-E, home. Home. Tell me, what have they seen in your home? I'm not talking about just the structure of your home and the actual physical. You know, I can walk up to this and, man, that's pretty sheetrock and it's painted. Yeah, that's a wall there and there's a window here and there's a roof there. I'm not talking about just that home. I'm talking about this home right here. What do they hear come out of your mouth? What do they see that you're watching? And what are you listening to that they hear? What have they seen in your... This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need to get the Holy Ghost. You need to set your house in order. How do you do that? You find out where you're at and you get with somebody that knows where they're at and where they're going. When I came here, I knew I was hurting. I knew I was confused. I knew I had been lied to and cheated. But I had been praying, God, you know right where I'm at. Right. You open the door.
Thank you, Jesus.
You put me where I'm supposed to be, under who I'm supposed to be. Leadership doesn't start in the church. It starts in your home.
That's right.
Daddy, they've got to see you pray. Mama, they got to see you pray. Grandparent, they've got to see you worship. Our best altar service we've had upstairs. We had parents there that came to the front. We had a young lady on our staff that came to the front, lifted her hands and started praying and crying. And every other young lady started praying and crying. They're looking for leadership. And it starts with you. You are a leader to somebody. Somebody's watching you. It matters. I'm living, breathing, talking, big as a house. You can see me. Proof that God will answer your prayer. Because look at what God's put together. And look at where I'm at now. I'm under great leadership. I'm under somebody that's stable. Everything that I was lacking and missing and having direction in my life, God has filled the void. And now I'm under the umbrella and the blessing of leaders. It starts from the top and goes down. It starts with you, Mama, Daddy. It starts with you. You can stand to your feet all over the building. I can tell you this morning. I can tell you this morning. The way we're going to build this church is one home at a time. One miracle at a time.
Amen.
Did you come from a dysfunction? Yeah, we all have dysfunction. You know, I used to think I was the only normal family in the world. And then I realized my family's dysfunctional. I'm the weird one in the world. No matter where you've come from, hear me. No matter where you've come from, you can conquer and change your future. Realize exactly where you're at. If you'd have told me 16, I don't know how long it's been exactly, T-Mark, that I would see T-Mark up here in the choir singing, He knows the songs better than I do. Seriously. But by first appearance, oh, he come from a broken home, hurting home. Life hasn't been fair. But he's found himself and he's picking himself up. And he's taking a stand for Christ. You can do the same thing. That's how revival starts in your home. How many would just step out of your pew where you're at and come forward and say, I want my home to be better. I want the people that I influence around me in my life. I want them to be affected by God's goodness and glory that they see in my life. Maybe you come from a hurting home and you just want God to touch your home and your family and your children and the loved ones that you care about. The church cannot do, hear this, the church cannot do what you can do in your home. The few hours of week that we are together or that we have your children is not as big an impression or impact on their young lives as the multiple hours of time that they're in your home. Not just your children. Maybe you don't have children. Maybe you're a single family or a single person. It matters what's in your home. Revival starts with you. Remember that? Revival starts with me. This house. There's some things I'm still working on to get in order of this house. Let's work together. I wonder all over the building, if you just lift your hands and let's just love the Lord Jesus. God, we want people to see your goodness and your glory in our house. God, open our minds and our hearts. Reveal your word to us, oh God. God, let our children and let our families see your glory shining through us. It starts in the home, God. Leadership starts in the home. I'm asking you, God, right now that you touch every man, every woman, every parent, every grandparent, every single. Touch these families, God. Lord, the people that come by, let them feel your love shining through. Let us share your love. We give you praise. We give you glory. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray that your presence reach down in this place right now. Strengthen the weak. Heal the brokenhearted. Touch the wounded spirit, God. Open up our homes and our hearts to you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's just give him a shout of praise right now. God, we praise you. Just tell him, Lord, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for what you're doing in our homes and our families. God, I'm praying for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost of revival in our children, from the youngest to the oldest, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Say it with me. Thank you, Jesus. No matter where you find yourself right now in this physical house, you can clean your house. He's already there. I loved it. Whew. I missed the last half. We got to change something about the choir practice. I want to hear it. God is already there. God's never left you. Think about it. God's never left you. You might have left God, but God's always standing there saying, here I am. Come unto me. Come unto me. Just lay down that burden. Lay down that hurt and let God touch your life. Hallelujah. Share the good news of the gospel with somebody this week. Will you do it? Hey, we're growing. We're affecting people. People see what's in our house. People absorb what's coming out of that mouth. What are you feeding people? Hallelujah. Lord, bless us today. Thank you, Lord, for each and every person here. God, we give you praise and glory for what you're doing in our church family, and name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Tonight, leadership meeting, 5 o'clock. If you are in a leadership position or you're not, you are still invited to come. You can find out how things are run and go on. And if you're interested in plugging in, 5 or 5:30? Five o'clock. Everybody say it with me. 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. Be here. You'll learn something. You'll get something. I promise you. We serve a good God. Amen. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Tuesday night, Life Application Bible Study, Gravity. Greet somebody in the fear of the Lord.